faces today. We are not complacent. We know that we face some real challenges as an organization, and I am determined that we should do everything that we can do to tackle these challenges. For example, we know that the pace of the negotiations is particularly frustrating. The bulk of our current trade rules were agreed 20 years ago when the organization was being founded. And at that time, the internet barely existed, just to give you an idea. So despite the fact that many of those rules that we agreed 20 years ago, they are very basic rules, they are often perennial principles, so they're not going to disappear, they're still extremely relevant and important today. The reality is that our legal texts have not properly entered the 21st century yet. That's the reality. So we need to deliver more outcomes, we need to deliver them more quickly, and we will do everything we can to work with members to make this happen. And of course, your support here will be vital. So let me turn now to some very specific areas where we need to work together over the coming months. And I will start with the implementation of things that we have already done, but I will also talk about the current negotiations. So, I think you're all aware of the significance of the Bali package. I made a reference to it just a moment ago. And that importance exists not only in economic terms, but also it had a very strong systemic impact because it meant more strength and viability to the system, to the WTO itself. A major priority now is to deliver what we agreed in Bali, and this work is underway. And discussion have started regarding a permanent solution on public stock holding for food security purposes, for example. And we have put a very particular and strong focus on the decisions that we took in Bali, which are of priority interest to the least developed countries, the LDCs. And at, on this front, at a high-level meeting that we held just 2 weeks ago, we saw some excellent progress on improving market access for services offered by LDCs. Over 25 members of the WTO indicated services sectors and modes of supply where they would grant preferential treatment to the LDCs. And now we are working, of course, to realize those commitments. So they signal that. Now we are trying to see how we can harvest that. And, of course, we're making very good progress in implementing the trade facilitation agreement. That was a major outcome in Bali as well. This agreement will help to harmonize and simplify customs procedures for all WTO members, reducing the time and the cost of trade operations worldwide. And in this way, it has the potential to provide a timely boost to the global economy at a moment when we all know that economic growth is desperately needed. It is estimated that this agreement could reduce costs of trading by just about 10% in developed countries and up to 15% in developing countries. In addition, some studies have found that the agreement could support export growth in developing countries by about 20%. So these are very significant numbers. And if you add a few more, the benefits of the agreement have been estimated to inject about $1 trillion in the world economy every single year. More than that, this agreement could create up to 21 million jobs worldwide. And there are some estimates that 18 million of those 21 would happen in developing countries. So the trade facilitation agreement is extremely important economically, but it also broke new ground on the disciplines itself, on the way that it will be put in practice. For the first time, for example, an agreement has a mandatory requirement to provide technical assistance for the countries that don't have the capacity to implement the provisions of the agreement. And so we have created in the WTO a trade facilitation agreement facility to help to build that capacity in developing countries. And under this facility, all the developing and least developed countries can be sure that they will receive the support and the technical assistance that they need to implement the agreement. But of course, the agreement and these benefits can only be realized, can only be perceived, once the agreement is put into force. And under the WTO rules, we need two-thirds of the members to accept the agreement for the agreement to enter into force for those two-thirds, and then subsequently to everyone that deposits their instrument of acceptance. Kenya's minister, Ms. Amina Mohamed, she was here in December talking to our general counsel in this very same room, and she urged members to do whatever it took to try to ensure that by the ministerial conference in December in Nairobi, we could adopt the trade facilitation agreement so that two-thirds of the members would have deposited by then their instruments of acceptance. And many of you have domestic requirements to get these agreements through Congress. So there, frankly, the ball is in your court at this point in time. So your support as parliamentarians is vital to ensure that your domestic processes are completed by the time that we meet in Nairobi. So some members have already done so. They have very expedited procedures there. But I urge all of you to keep engaged and to try to make this happen. This is extremely important for us. So we have a similar task. So going through Congress, agreements and things that we have done. So a similar thing is before us in fulfilling the mandate of the Doha Declaration on the TRIPS Agreement and Public Health. Now, the aim of this declaration, the TRIPS and Public Health Declaration, was to solve the difficulties that members that had not sufficient or just no capacity whatsoever in the pharmaceutical sector to make effective use of the compulsory licensing provisions to gain access to affordable medicines. And this led to the so-called paragraph 6, and I'm not going to be very technical here, but it's the paragraph 6 system, that's how we call it. This is a system of special compulsory licenses to produce and to export pharmaceuticals to meet the needs of patients in countries where these medicines cannot be manufactured. And this was first done in the form of a waiver in 2003 and subsequently became an amendment. And this was the first amendment to the multilateral agreements of the WTO. And again, it's high time that we bring it into force. So it's been a long time. The UN General Assembly, the ECOSOC, the World Health Organization, UNAIDS, all these organizations have called for this to happen, and we need to deliver. Again, like in the Trade Facilitation Agreement, we need two-thirds of the members to confirm acceptance before that amendment comes into force. Around half of the WTO members have already done so, and they involve countries from all regions, and developed, developing, least developed, all of them have. Of course, the developing and least developed are the ones who benefit the most, so a bigger effort, we're hoping, will come from them. We need 27 more acceptances before it is triggered into force, and I am convinced that this is an achievable goal to secure these acceptances this year. So far, it has proved to be a very straightforward exercise for most members. After all, it does not require or does not impose any new international obligations. There are no new obligations on anyone, on any of the members. What it does is it essentially means that you are prepared to affirm the right of all members to use this legal system if they want to do it and when they want to do it. So there are no obligations whatsoever on anyone. So that should be a pretty straightforward procedure. I have written to all ministers of countries who still have not done that, confirmed their acceptance, to take this next step. And again, your help will be vital. So we need to complete this process to help increase the access to medicines, particularly in Africa. So I urge our governments to take the steps which are necessary to do that. But like I said, these are things that we have already done and where I think the ball is in your court. But in addition to implementing these decisions, we have also to deliver new negotiated outcomes. We currently have negotiations in a number of areas in the WTO. Some members are engaged in negotiations on environmental goods. There is also a negotiation on the expansion of the information technologies agreement, for example. And these are very significant agreements, which would bring major economic gains. And the results of those negotiations would benefit all WTO members, even though not all of them are participating in these initiatives, but the results apply to all. So the liberalization would be available to everyone. But of course, the greatest focus for us is the Doha Development Agenda, the DDA, the Doha Round, as many of you know it. Negotiations on the DDA have been running since 2001. That is just too long. In Bali again, and again in November last year, every single WTO member committed to taking forward this work to conclude the round. And we now have a goal to achieve a work program on how to conclude the round, a very specific work program, by July. So by July this year, we are supposed to do that. It's very difficult, but we're going to try our best. And of course, this means that the big and difficult issues, agriculture, industrial goods, services, and all the other issues which are under the mandate of the round, are back at the table. So we already started a very intensive process of negotiations just a few weeks ago, and we have made some progress. The broad positions have not changed, but the political will to do it is there, and that changes the game completely. So I have also heard a lot of the negotiators express a willingness to think differently, to explore new ideas, to think creatively, and that is another game changer. So we're also very hopeful that this could mean that we are going to start making progress where we have been stalled for several years. So we need to redouble our efforts to conclude this work. There are, of course, other initiatives going on in the world today, and I don't have to tell you that. You know that quite well. These are mega regional negotiations, blocs which are talking to themselves. And by and large, all these initiatives are very welcome. In fact, I hope that they prosper and that they are concluded, and because they are underpinned by the WTO rules, all of them. And it is important, however, to remember that whatever they do, they cannot replace the WTO. There are a number of areas of negotiations that you simply cannot do. It's impossible to do in these agreements, these formats. So many big-ticket items, like, for example, the negotiations on trade facilitation is one of them, agricultural subsidies, fishery subsidies, rules for remedies, trade remedies, none of these can be done bilaterally. They have to be done here in Geneva. More than that, it is in the WTO that all voices are heard. It is here where all countries, big, medium, or small, are part of the negotiations. They sit at the table. They develop and they set the agenda. Nowhere else. So I hope that you also realize the importance of their participation in these processes. So just a few concluding remarks to then maybe interact a little bit more with you. We have demonstrated in Bali that the WTO can deliver. We can do things. We can negotiate multilaterally. And I think that we have started this anniversary year with purpose and with momentum. And I hope I have given you today a sense of the continued importance of our work and of the opportunities that we have ahead of us. In addition to implementing the Bali package and the TRIPS amendment and agreeing on the work program on the DDA by July, there are a series of major challenges and milestones ahead of us. So we have the global review of aid for trade, which will happen in June this year. We have the UN summit on the post-2015 development agenda in September, where it is important that trade's potential contribution to the sustainable development goals is recognized. We have the annual WTO public forum, which will be here in October, and that is a very important opportunity as well to interact and network, and I hope that if you do have the opportunity to be here, please do. It's an extremely important event. And we have, of course, the ministerial conference in Nairobi in December. It is the first time that we're doing that in Africa. I think I said that. So positive outcomes in all of these events and areas would be the best way to mark our 20th anniversary. And in each of those cases, your support will be critical, will be important, and we count on it. As parliamentarians, your involvement is instrumental in all of our work. Doesn't matter where we look at it, you are involved somehow, because it is precisely through you that we hear the voices of the people that we serve here in Geneva. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is more important than that. So I hope you have a productive continuation of the meeting. I saw your program, your agenda. It's very broad. It is very intense. I hope you're having fun. And if you're not, I hope you're finding it productive in any way. And once again, thank you for coming. It's an honor to have all of you here. And I hope I can interact a little bit more with you from the table. So thank you.